Delegated authority. What did I say? Now listen to me, please. Don't come to church and get nothing. If you are coming to church, it has become a ritual, it's useless. I will advise you to stay home. You might be watching television, it's the same thing. If you want to come to church to gain something. Don't come sit there and just sit because it's Sunday. Anything you are doing that has become a ritual is useless. Your prayers, your studying the Bible, once it becomes a ritual, has no life in it at all. It will not benefit you. So when you come to church to benefit. And I've told you here that the primary reason you come to church is to be taught. It's to be taught. Jesus said to Peter, "You love me?" What did he say? Feed my sheep. Because if you're not fed, you'll be a baby. You'll be carnal. You'll be vulnerable. I can be deceived very easily. And if you're not fed, how do you grow? How does God find mature people that he can commit things into their hands? Because this work of the kingdom must be done. But not by babies. He said, don't commit my work into the hand of what? Novices. He said, pretty soon they get too proud. Because you made him this, gave him one title. He said, their heart will be what? Lifted up. They won't be under authority again. He said, the devil will deal with them. So he give it to mature people who understand the way I do my things. So they'll be able to stand the pressure of the work. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
So when you come to church, I beg you to listen. Don't get disconnected. Don't get disconnected. The most important thing in your life is not a miracle. You can get a miracle and lose it in 24 hours. The most important thing in your life is what God has to say. It is that truth that will set you free and keep you being what? Free. You can get a miracle if you don't know the truth. You still be destroyed because of your ignorance. Still be destroyed. So the most important thing is the truth. Our team this year is working in the truth. If you know the truth, it will set you free. If you know the truth, you'll be a miracle worker yourself. You walk in wisdom and you can deal with the affairs of life in a way that edifies people and glorifies God. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
You can look, if you don't have the wisdom of God, you might be writing something, but the way you approach it will not edify anybody. Instead of helping, it will destroy. So we need to grow and be matured and understand how to walk with the Spirit of God. But you learn these things when you come to church. You have to have a meek heart. If you don't have a meek heart, I'm sorry, you won't get much. Won't get much. When I started to pastor them, that's the first thing God taught me. He said, I'm going to break the alabaster so the oil will flow. He said, you're such a proud man. He said, everything you trust in your life, I'm taking them away. And you're going to cry because you've trusted in them for long. So I knocked them off. He said, if I use the word prop, he said, everything you thought propped you up, I'm going to knock them off so you'll learn that I'm your only prop. And did I cry? I did. Yep. Painful. Because pride is a terrible thing to deal with. It blinds you, you won't even know you are. In fact, I went to my wife, I said, God said I'm proud. She said, you are. I went to her to side with me. She sided with God. He said, I've been praying for you, you are such a proud man. But if you told me I was proud, I would never have agreed. But when I saw what God was doing, I realized that I was such a religious proud man. And it was ruining my life. Was destroying, the devil was using it to ruin my life. In fact, the devil was mocking me. Because once you are proud, God will resist you every day. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So when you come to church, come to benefit. The reason I'm saying this is that a lot of people come to church and church 10 years, 12 years, but when the chips are down, you see them falling apart. You wonder, what's the use of all those years of going to church? Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28, what? Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in, I'm reading New Living Translation. I've been given all authority, where? In heaven and what? I want you to take note of the word in heaven and on earth, because they're going to play into what we're going to talk about, and it's going to benefit you too if you understand these things. Now, And then verse 19, after he told them that I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, verse 19, see what he told his disciples, 19. Verse 19, let me read my own. Your own is not coming up. Therefore, go and make disciples of all what? Nations. Therefore, go ye therefore and make all nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you understand the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, every single time he commissions, he empowers. Are you with me here? Every single time Jesus commissions, he what? Because the scriptures say nobody goes a warfare on his own account. You can't go on your own account. When God commissions, he empowers. Can you say that with me? Say it loud again. Now look at Luke chapter 10 from verse 1. Luke chapter 10 from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So you see, he sent them, he has commissioned them. But he said, did he give them power? Look at what he told them in verse 8. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are what? Said before you, and heal the sick that are daring, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come now right here. Now he's telling them, you are going with the authority of the kingdom. You are headed there with the authority of what? The kingdom of God. Tell them, yeah, it's right here. We're here. That's why you can kick out sickness. And then when they came back in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even... Oh, you're not reading. Oh, you don't have it. 17, verse 17. Faster, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with what? Joy. What did they say? Lord, even the devils are subject unto you. Unto who? Us. Church, us. Unto you. Through thy name. So they are subject to us through your name. Understand? If you have a Bible, underline that subject to us through your name. Okay. Thank you so much. Open it. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Thank you. Is this tea? You have done Meroa. Meti. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. All right. It says, now, they said, if you have a Bible, underline that word to us, unto us, through thy name. It means a lot. Unto us, what? Through thy name. So Jesus, when he received that authority, the same commission, he said to the church, go ye therefore. Why? Because I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, you also go. So I'm commissioning you and authorizing you to go in my name. Can I hear amen? Amen? So you know, many times things happen to us Christians and we ask, why did the Lord permit this? Have you asked that question before? Huh? And then sometimes we say to the Lord, your idea, what? Why did this happen? In other words, you didn't live up to the expectation. You failed. That's what we accuse God. The disciples said, you don't care, we are perishing, you are sitting here. We do this. So we go to God and say, Lord, why are you? So you are watching this thing happening. Eh? In other words, we are saying to God, you are not righteous. I'm better than you. I would have done better if I'm God. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You failed. That's what we tell him. God must be God. Because it is me. So we ask that question all the time. But let me correct you, sir. Please. With all due respect, the question should be asked to you, not to God. The question should be, why did I let this what happen? That's the proper question. Because God has no business in your failures. It's not God. God has no business in anybody's what? Failure. He's not the one that caused your failure. You are the one that should ask yourself, why did I let this thing happen? That's the proper question. Then you can begin to go to God and say, Lord, why did I miss? What am I doing wrong here that is making this thing happen? Then God will show you this is what you're doing wrong. Because God doesn't do wrong. The problem is never with God, because God is faithful. 24. If there's an issue, it is us, not God. So the proper question is, hey, why did you let this what happen? That's the proper question. Don't you bother God 1 second. Except saying, Lord, you know, I know I'm the problem here. So where am I getting it wrong? What am I doing wrong? That if I correct, then this situation will be taken care of. Are you following my point? I had a sister whose husband was in hospital, and they said to her, it is our medicine keeping him alive. If we pull our medicine, your husband would die. She called me, and I said, you are God's oracle. You decide what happens. You reign. She told them, he said, no, you are not keeping him alive. God is what? Keeping alive. And this thing went on for 3-4 days. You know how you doctors behave. Call her all the time, conference all the time. And I said to her, I was jogging. I said to the Lord, no, I was not jogging. I was walking, taking a walk. So I said to the Lord, what is she doing wrong that is not working? She said she has no faith in me. I said, what? I said, she has declared that you are the one. I said, no. I said, she doesn't trust me. If she does, my power will work. I said, so how does she change her faith? He said, if she believes that I'm the one giving that man life, she should tell them to take their medicine away. Pull their medicine. Disconnect it. And see that God is what? Say she's afraid that if they take it away, yeah, he says she doesn't trust me. I called her, I said, we got it now. We got the answer. Take them to what? Take their mess and pull it off. Pull it. Take it away. And they did, and the man is still alive. You see, it's not God, it's you and me. Stop bothering God. When you fail, it's not God. Don't say, God, where are you? And I did all these things to me. That is a question of an ignorant person. Are you telling God he's not good? He doesn't know what he's talking about? So you are the good one? You are better than God? No. The question is, why did I let this what happen? What am I doing wrong here? That's where the solution starts. Look at Matthew 16:19. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be what? I didn't hear you. Will be what? So if you don't forbid, whose fault? Case closed. Whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden. He didn't say whatever heaven forbids for you. Listen, church. Those things must be subject to you in the name of Jesus. They must be subject to who? You in the name of Jesus. You is the subject matter. You are the one that resists the devil. And the devil will flee from you, not from God. It is you he's fleeing from. It's not fleeing from God. It's not fleeing from Jesus. Forget it. It is you it will flee from. And you are the one that will resist him. And then he will be subject to you and run. But it has to be in the name of Jesus. Are you following my point?
Amen.
Okay. And then whatever you permit, put that scripture up. Let's read it together, church, please. Whatever you permit, where? Are we up in Mars or on earth? Whatever. How many things are whatever? Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted by heaven. God says, yeah, you allow it, they allow it. It's your business. Why? The Bible said the earth God has given to the children of men. I want you to get it. If you do not understand this, you'll be praying to God to come and do what you should be doing yourself. And nothing will happen. If you do not get this, you will be defeated. You will be defeated. I mean crushed. Because you'll be sitting there and be allowing to yourself. Sitting there and then crawling, they'll be crawling over all over you. Because you allowed it. The day you wake up and say, hey, get out of here, they'll be subject to you. Can I hear amen? So we must understand that the exercise of spiritual authority is your responsibility. There is nowhere the Bible even said that I should exercise authority for you. It's not there. I understand we can help baby Christians. But when the Bible says resist the devil, it didn't say your pastor should resist the devil for you. What did he say? Tell your neighbor, I say he's talking to you. He didn't say, hey, when the devil comes, call your pastor to come and if I'm resisting for you, who is resisting my own? Why should I carry your wahala on top? I told Pastor Victor, I said, Pastor, we are not going to carry people's problem on our head. We have enough for our own. Let them carry their own. We carry our own. Ah, what's all this? Carry your own, my friend. Let me carry my own. There's nowhere the Bible said, call your pastor to resist it for you. Who did he give the responsibility? You. And you are not doing it. You are allowing everything. And then you are blaming God, blaming the pastor when you are sitting there and doing nothing. And when you do it, you don't even know what you're talking about. So who has the responsibility? You. Look, when we got saved, we are babies. So our pastor, God used our pastor to pray for us to have miracle. And then after that, no more. Pastor, no more. God says, you get it yourself. We didn't know initially. But when we found out that we're supposed to what? Get it ourselves. I took my wife's head tie. I said, you get out of my house. You're not staying here. And my wife fought them. Let me tell you, the devil fears women more than men. Because you touch a mom's baby girl or baby boy, that woman will get up and kick that thing. You don't know what I'm telling you. She got up. A mom got up. She saw them in the revelation. Where they hid everything. She went after them. She saw them when the thing came up and she got pregnant. No more from pastor. Because God said, I've taught you now that this is real. Now you do it. Tell your neighbor and say, it's your turn. I didn't hear you. Is that all you can say? Come on. Let me guarantee each one of us, every member of the body of Christ, Paul, come, please. Every member of the body of Christ, you are hand, you are toe, you are this, you are this. Christ is your head. This authority given to the body was given to all of us. Toe, hand, everybody has it. You have the same authority this one has, the same authority the leg has, the same authority this one has. Nobody has more authority than the other. All of us share the same authority. If you disallow, it is what? If you allow, it is what? It's up to you. So don't go to God and say, God, after this I'm doing, I've been serving you 20 years. So why are you? And they say, why? Don't let God call me to answer you. You won't like my answer. I'll come. Go ahead. And say, why were you when they were teaching you the Bible? Why didn't you listen to me? If you understand me here, say amen. Amen. Let me give you three hindrances to use of authority. Very serious ones. Number one is ignorance of this truth that you are sharing here. Ignorance that if you don't know you have it, you will be waiting for somebody to exercise this for you. And brethren, can I talk to you for a second? Nobody will take your matters as serious as you can take it. Nobody. I don't care how close they are to you. You are the one that is wearing the shoe. I don't care how you are talking with them. Nobody will take it as serious as what? Because it is your direct business. You think they'll come and do it the way you do. You are the best person to handle your affairs because all your heart is what? Is in it. So, ignorance. We think I don't have the authority. So I'm waiting for ignorance. That's number one. Number two, lack of understanding. Lack of understanding of how to use the authority, sir. When you say you know you have the authority, but you do not know how to use it, then the authority is dormant. Because there's a how, and it's not too difficult. Jesus said this authority is used in what? In what? In what? I didn't hear you. If you know, you say it loud. In what? Faith in my name. Because it is delegated authority. Because he said, this authority has been given to me. It's not yours now. It's delegated to us. If it is us, we hand it over to the devil like Adam did the first time. I'm going to teach on it on Thursday so you understand how this authority left us and why it's not coming back to us directly, why it's coming back to Christ, the Son of Man. And we use it in his name. Because Jesus can't surrender again. The devil can't take it from him. It's secured. It was given to Adam. Adam handed it over to the devil. And Jesus, the man, the last Adam, came, took it from Satan. And says, it's mine now. But the church can use it in my... When you go with your company card, you don't have the authority of the company. But when you show the card, who do they respect? The company. But it's not you. You can't go there and say, let's do a deal. See the authority of this company. I'm handing it over to you. The cops will want to chat with you. You don't have the authority to do that. Even though they give you their card, because you are a member, and you can show up everywhere and say this, like the cops pulled me over on my way to Canada, and I said to him, I said, look, I'm a pastor. I have emergencies like you do have to. Do you know that? I said, Rev, you know they call us Rev. He said, Rev, yeah, I do that. I understand. He said, you're a pastor. I said, let me see your card. I didn't have any card. I showed him restaurant depot card that has orange four square in it. And while I was showing it, I said, Lord, I need your favor here. I didn't have any card at all. And the man read it. Orange four. I said, Rev, yeah, you're right. He said, Rev, you know this way limit. I said, well, I just didn't know. He said, you're your way. I don't want to keep you. Enjoy your trip. What am I saying? I'm a pastor. He honored it because God gave me grace and mercy. He honored it because God gave me grace and mercy. If you go with your Costco card, it's the authority of Costco to enter that place. If you don't have that card, you are not what? That card doesn't belong. Now they're changing from American Express to another company. You have to change with them. June 19, if you come, why am I even teaching you this one? If you come with American Express, it won't work there anymore. Why? They retain the authority, but they delegate it to you. Jesus retains the authority, but he delegated it to the church. I mean, can it be any simpler than this? So when you have Costco cards, when you come to Costco, how do you walk in? Huh? Do you walk in and say, oh my God, would they let me? No. You have faith in what a man gave you, but you don't have faith in what God gave you. See, the life centers, they say, when we do this, we're dealing with the integrity of God. We're doubting it. So, if you don't know how to use it, that you use it in the name of Jesus, because that authority is his name. If you don't know how to use it, you won't have faith in that name, it won't work for you. And then the other one, it's lack of understanding of the gift of righteousness. It will hinder you. That is pacam pronto. Boom. You're not going further. And the devil has dealt with many Christians here. I used to be a victim until God opened my eyes. Because I struggled a lot with this idea of gift of righteousness. I said, doesn't mean I do what I like. I didn't know better. Until God what? And I'm like, wow. Without this thing, I can't even live like a Christian. That's when my eyes open. Pum, pum, pum. Praise the Lord. Mohammed, come. Doc, come. Mohammed, you come stand here. Stand here. Face them. Doc. Okay, Doc. Senior Doc. Come this side. Come this side. I'm happy you came because you know you're a gynecologist. My wife and I have been believing for all. Church, I'm explaining this for 5 weeks or so. The Bible says we go to God through the body of Christ, right? Through his flesh. It says this is the way he consecrated for us. Right? So he that believes in Jesus is joined, right? But you know, Jesus said, my Father and I are one. So when I'm joined to him, everything from God flows to me. Right? The reason it's flowing is not because of me. It's because of him. It is his righteousness, his right to stand with his Father that I'm enjoying. That's called the gift of what? Now, if I say I don't want it, that I'm good on my own, you know what I'm doing? When I disconnect from this, I bring rags. My righteousness can never be like him. And when I bring this thing that is, God looked at it and said, this is rag. It's filthy what? Rag. How can you join with God with this? In your eye, you think it's okay. Why? You're carnal. But in the eyes of God, he said, all I'm seeing is filthy rag. Now, if you don't understand this, and the devil will deal with you right here until you I'm not kidding you. You won't win one battle. Not one. Because now you are disconnected. And yet without him you can do. Now you are trying to do something babe, without him. Because you think you are sufficient in yourself. And number two, it is pride. You are so blinded in your so goodness and all you do is judge everybody else. Because you think you are. But when you know you are no good, you depend on him, you'll be really humble. And then God will lift you. Lifting up includes teaching you, revealing things to you that your mind will be renewed and your life is also transformed. That's a part of lifting up. Lift you out of your sinful bondages and things because now you know who is the truth. And then as God is walking, his spirit is walking through Christ. For all things come through him. All things come what? Through him. All things come what, church? Through him. As God is sending you revelation to him, because he is the vine, you are the branch, you begin to understand like I now understood the gift of righteousness and I'm like, wow, this is key. I didn't understand it even as a pastor for years. I was struggling. But when I understood it, struggling what? Stop. I learned to lean on him. And when you lean on him, you find rest. That's when the power of God is made manifest in your life. Praise the Lord. He says, God said to Paul, when you're weak, when you say, I need him, he said, that's when my power is what? Made manifest. But when you say, I'm not weak, I can do without him, you will see nothing. And then the devil will give you so many things as your righteousness. He said, you do 40 days. You do, he said, this one will take only 2 nivides. So your faith is in your what? Nivides. Even though it's good, that they can't take the place of Jesus. No. Because nobody comes to the Father. Somebody. Get it in your head. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So look at what Peter said in Acts 8, 20, 21. But Peter said to him, your money, what? Perish with you. Why? Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You can't buy righteousness, friends. It's a gift of God. Anytime you think you can buy it, you can pay for it, you can qualify for it, any other means, the Holy Spirit said, you go get out of here. You can't purchase it. You can't buy it. There's no alternative. It is an act of grace. A gift is an act of what? Grace. How many of you get what I'm saying? The act of grace. Now, in Peter's life, we see Peter exercising righteous authority because he knew these three things. First Peter, sorry, Acts 3 from verse 1. Acts 3 from verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alm. And Peter, for the first problem, Peter had the answer. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and what? Gold have I none, but what? Such as I have." So he knew he had something. If you don't know you have it, it will hinder you. If you think it's only your pastor that has it, it will hinder you. You have it. You can say, "Such as I have." He says, "Such as I have, I give I thee." Then what did he do next? Church, come on, let's read it. What did he do next? Come on, church, read it aloud. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up." Was that prayer? Come on. Authority on earth. Jesus said, "I have authority in heaven and authority where?" He gave the church authority on earth and authority in heaven, all of them through his name. To deal with issues on earth through his name, and to come to heaven in prayer through his name. So Peter knew he had this authority on earth to demand things to change in the name of Jesus. Just like you demand that the devil leave in the name of Jesus. That's not prayer. That's exercising what? Authority of demand. You cast the devil out in the name of Jesus. That's not prayer. You're demanding you got to get out of here in the name of Jesus. You speak to mountains to move in the name of Jesus. You demand it and they move. Peter said, "I demand that you rise up and what? Walk in the name of Jesus." And the man was looking at Peter. And Peter went and heard him and put him. So the first thing Peter knew he had that authority. Amen. And then let's read further, verse 7. "And he took him by the hand, right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." 8. "And he leaped up, stood, and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened unto him." 11. "And as the lame man which was healed heard Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering." Now, see again that Peter knew that this is not Peter's righteousness. Verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at what? At this. And why look ye what? So earnestly on us." Why looking at us? As though, church. Come on, church. As though. I want you to hear that. As was though. By our own power. It's a delegated authority, it's not us. Or holiness. We had made this man to walk. So Peter knew that this authority is delegated and is based on the gift of righteousness that God gave us. The mercy of God, the grace of Jesus. That's why God honored it. If you bring it based on yourself, dead end. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, if it's today, they would have laughed and said, "You know, we carry the anointing small. And we carry anointing. You know, you can now come and lick our shoe. The anointing will flow and make you rich. And all the fools will line up, licking an empty shoe that is dirty." Praise the Lord. Peter said, "Don't look at me. It's not me. I have nothing to do with this thing. And it's not because I'm holy, sir. And it's not my righteousness anyway. It's not my power either. So stop bothering me. This was given to us. I know I had it, but it's not mine. It's his. Used it in his name." Verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our father, has glorified" who? "His son, Jesus, whom you delivered up." And then verse 16, And now Peter knew how to use that authority. He said it is used in his name. Faith in his name. Everybody say faith in his name. And his name. Everybody say his name. And his name. Through faith in his name had made this man strong. He said it is his name that made him strong. It's not us. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, faith, which is by him, had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He knew how to use it. It's faith in the name of Jesus. He knew the reason. It's a gift. And he knew he had it. And he could use it. My prayer is that you can walk up and say, such as I have given. You can speak to your child who is sick. Say, such as I have given you. Sickness, in the name of Jesus, I command you to what? Did you know what, when Jesus sent his disciples, you know what he told them? You, when you go, you heal the sick yourself. Read your Bible. Read it. You do what? Go and heal the sick and cast out devils, because they will be subject to you in my name. Because I've given you authority. Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man Adam caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift. Church, his gift. Remember, Peter said your money perish what? With you, because you think you can buy this gift. You don't pay for it. It's free. And his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now, Luke 18:9. Some will not receive it. And Luke 18:9. Like I taught on Thursday, I'm not teaching what I taught on Thursday. If you're interested, you should come and listen. You go and listen online. You will see what happened to the Pharisees. Why they rejected that gift of righteousness. I'm not teaching it here. Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain. Unto who? Certain. Which, church, I want you to talk. Which, I didn't hear you. Come on now. Which, so their trust is not in Christ. It's in themselves that they were. And the automatic thing, the moment you get into that trap of Satan, is to despise others. You'll be talking about it as sinners, as sinners, as sinners. As if to say, let me tell you something. You see, if we bring a bottle of pure water, I'm not talking of impure pure water, real pure water. Three bottles, right? Right? Three of them are drinkable. I mean, are they drinkable? Then you take a speck of poo, speck, and put in one. Is it drinkable? Then you take a spoon of poo and put in the second one. Is it drinkable? Then you take a bigger spoon and put in the third one. Is it drinkable? Which of them is drinkable? That's the way we are. You can't come and say my sin is tiny. You are not drinkable. You can't come and say this one is bigger. You are not drinkable. You can't come and say this one is the biggest. Three of you are not drinkable. So calm down and be humble. We walk by the grace of God. The only thing that makes us drinkable is Jesus. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
That's the hope of glory, to be drinkable. So now, this one went there. Two men, verse 10. Look at the self-righteous man pray. Two men walked up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Wow, that I'm not as what? Other men. They are extortioners. They are. He's always seen people as evil. Always. Adulterers. Or even this publican that is in this church. Then verse 12, he brings his list of his righteousness. I fast. Say this thing, this problem will take only 40 days. Right, you deal with it. What? It takes Jesus. He takes you. Jesus. He's the healer. He's the one. He says, you know, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Lord, God, have mercy on me. A what? Then Jesus told us whose prayer was answered. And he said, no, I tell you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified, rather than the other. For everyone, church, run away from this thing. It will destroy you. It is called pride. Oh, man, it will ruin your life. For everyone that exalted what? Shall be, it's a matter of time. You come down. And he that humbled himself shall be what? Self-righteousness is self-exaltation. And Jesus said, you are coming down. And you will come down. Amen? I said amen. I said amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. It's Christians that I see. I was telling the sister, Pastor Fon yesterday. It's Christians that I see. When their brother is wounded on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, when they come there, they take their leg and say, and you call yourself a Christian. Why did you do this kind of thing? So, and of all the church are coming, go and sit down, my friend. God will judge you. And they move away. Christians, that's what we do. We kill our people. And the cause is self-righteousness. You know who's behind that? Satanic motivation. It's called stronghold. When it grips your heart, if they bring the truth, the devil uses it as a to bounce it off. It won't come. It won't come. Go and listen to what I taught on Thursday. You think you know what they are doing, but it's a stronghold. Any truth that comes, bounces off it. Pam, pam, pam. When it comes this way, pam. The devil is terribly wicked. And he will convince you that you know what you are what, but you don't know what you are doing. Yeah. Go and listen to what I taught on Thursday. I've seen this over and over, over and over and over. And that thing, if it's not corrected, Jesus said, you will what? Come down. You will come down. You can't reign. You don't reign. Instead of reigning, you are coming. That's what it is. Then, praise the Lord, church. I said, praise the Lord, church. Now, some people went to exercise authority. They didn't have the gift of righteousness. They went. Let's see what happened to them. Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They didn't even believe in him. Say, that's one Paul they talk about. 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, hey, Jesus, I what? No. Paul, I know better. Who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house, how? Naked and wounded. 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was what? But why did the devil say, I know Paul? Was it because Paul was a big shot? I'll show you why. Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7. I once thought these things were valuable. He's talking of self-righteousness. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ what? Because of what Christ what? Has done. Verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless. When compared, I'm reading, the translation I'm reading is New Living Translation. Yeah. Yet everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Verse 9, please. 9, and become one with him, I no longer, church, count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. The Bible says, those who receive this gift of righteousness shall reign on earth. And the devil said, we know Paul. He received this thing. But you don't have it, so who are you? Amen? I say amen. Okay? Look at verse 12. The same Acts 3:12. So you see that Paul is not, the devil didn't say we know Paul because it's a big shot. No. There's no big shot. There's only one big shot. It's Jesus. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached what? Perfection. He's saying what Peter said. It's not our holiness. It's not our perfection. Paul said, I don't have this perfection thing. But I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first what? Possessed. So Paul, the devil didn't say, I know Paul because he's a perfect man. Paul said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm not perfect yet, but I'm pressing forward. I'm not where I should be. So that's not the reason. The reason, because he was humble enough to accept Jesus as his what? Righteousness. And those who receive this gift of righteousness shall reign on earth. Right in on earth. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let's go back to our delegated authority. I said the authority that we're giving, Jesus, let me go back and we read the text, then we talk about that and we close. Have you got anything? Okay. Matthew 28:18. Let's read it. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in what? Heaven and on earth. All authority in what? Heaven. And what? On earth. Then he gave it to the church. He said, go ye therefore in my name. I'm giving it to you to use. Now, this authority that God gave us, the delegated authority, is two-pronged. One is authority on earth. The other is authority in heaven. All the authority he received in earth and in heaven, he gave to the church, all of it. All of it. So he gave us authority on earth. He gave us authority, where is? In heaven. So, the authority he gave us on earth is, if you look at what he told them, John 14:13. John 14:13. Authority on earth, in my name. John 14:13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask, what? In my name, that will I do. That the Father may be what? Glorified. Remember, Peter said that by this, the Father was glorified through the Son. He said, whatever you shall ask. He said, I will do that. It's not talking about prayer. It's not talking about prayer. It's not talking about what? Prayer. It's talking about whatever you shall demand in my name, I will see to it that it happens. My authority will see to it that it works. I will back you. I gave you my authority. That's what he's talking about. Because when he talked about authority in heaven, in prayer, he wasn't talking about himself now. Look at it in John 16:23-26. And in that day, you will ask me what? Nothing. So this is different from the other one. He said, whatever you demand, I will see to it that it happens. But this one, he says, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. So you are not talking to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, who? The Father again. So I give you the authority of my name in heaven, that through my name you have access to my Father. Can I hear amen? You can ask the Father in my name. He, my Father, will what? Give it to you. Verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So he said, you do the praying, you exercise this authority yourself in my name with my Father, authority in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, you exercise that authority, I won't do it for you. It's you that will go to my father with my authority to assess him, and you have access to my father. Authority in heaven. We have it. In prayer. Can I hear amen? Authority on earth, we also what? Have it. To demand things that is reflecting his will in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and what? Walk. And Jesus said, when you do such a thing, I will back you up with my authority because I gave it to you. My authority on earth, I give to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I told you that in this category is to say to the devil, in the name of Jesus, do what? Get out of here. That's a demand. And the devils will listen to you. Now look at Mark 11:23. I'll close with this. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say now unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever I said. So if you shall say and not doubt, believe in that authority. I remember a sister in this church. Somebody lost his car. They stole his car. Stole his car. And this sister rose up and said, in 3 days, in the name of Jesus, he will be found. And she told me, said, Pastor, I don't even know why I said that. But when I said it, I believed that. He said, within 3 days, the car was found. Why? Because she spoke in the authority of who? Jesus. Can I hear amen? Amen? She spoke in that authority and she believed it. That's what Jesus is saying. You have authority to change things on earth. You can speak to your mountain. Oh, praise the Lord. You can speak to your what? Mountain. You can speak to your what? Mountain. Which mountains have you been speaking to in the last 4 years? None. He said, if you don't doubt, it will happen the way you said. Because the authority I have on earth, I have what? Given you. I didn't put the mountain there. You can kick it out. I didn't put it there. The only one you can't move is the tree that is planted by me. But the one that's not planted by me must be uprooted. And then he went on in verse 24. Therefore, you see, therefore is because of the foregoing. Therefore, I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray now. Let's read it together. Therefore, I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray now, believe that you receive them. And what will happen? Why should I believe I receive them? He said, because if you believe in what you're saying, that I gave you authority to heaven, that it worked for you. It worked for you. He said, I gave you authority to my father. I gave you authority. Go to my father in my name. He'll give you what you want. He said, so if you speak those things and believe that you have received them, that you have what? Come on, put it up. Believe that you receive them. Put New Living Translation. Let me see what it says. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be. Which one goes first? Being yours. Which one goes first? What did Jesus say? It is more blessed to believe before see. So he said, believing is what makes you see. Only believe and you shall see. I gave you authority. So if you believe in the authority I give you, that if you pray in my name, as I told you, that my Father will answer, then you believe you've received it now, then it will be yours. So which one do we put first all the time? No, that we don't put believe first. The one we put first all the time is what? See. Because if you don't see it, then you conclude God has not done it. But that's not the proof that God has done it. The proof is, do you believe the authority he gave you, that it is true? When he said to Abraham, I have given you, Abraham didn't go back to God again and say, God, what you said is not working. He gave thanks every day. And God said, look at that man as your example. You can stand and not waver, knowing that what I told you is yea and amen. Praise the Lord. So you want to know that you have delegated authority. And that authority is given to us in the name of who? I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
Now you can't, you live with a witch. You won't hear you calling me every day. Pastor, I live with a witch. You have authority. I live with one. If I'm not more than, how many, honey? About two or three. We live with them. If I one that I live with, every night she will sleep. So I thought she was praying. So I said, how can the girl living with me be praying and I'm sleeping? So I challenged myself. I said, as long as she's praying, this girl is praying a lot. I will hear in that room. Hey, I said, wait, this girl really prays. Man. So I said, I'm going to be praying. And then my wife called me and said, you're living with the witch. I said, really? He said, God showed it to me. Because my wife will have revelations. And I called the girl. I said, really? You're a witch? I said, how did this happen to you? He said, my mother. He said, my mother did it as protection for us. I said, you know, if you lived here and all this night you've been doing this, I said, I've given you room. Now, remember then I was a baby Christian. I won't do what I did, I won't do it now. No, I won't even do anything like that. I told her, I said, you've been doing your own. I said, it's time for me to do my own. I said, the prayer I'm going to pray now. She started to, she said, please, oh, it's my mother. I wouldn't have used that threatening word because that's not Christ-like. I would have loved her out of that. Praise the Lord. I would have presented the love of Jesus that would, she would love and come out of that. But she, I think she, I don't know what happened. I've forgotten. She left or what? She left? Yeah, I told her, I said, you choose to come out or leave, and she chose to leave. I had another one. Immediately she came to my house early in the morning. I had her yelling in the living room. 5 a.m. I going there. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, somebody opened the door peeping at me. I said, okay. Now I've grown a little bit now. My approach was different. I said, you stay in the house. I will sleep in the living room. Let them come. I said, let them come. They're not coming here anymore. And believe you me, they didn't come anymore. Because that girl knew nothing. She needed to be loved and taught. Jesus sent us to every soul. We can't run away. We have the authority. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. You don't say no. If I knew what I knew, I wouldn't have let that one go. I would have led that to the Lord. I would have preached the gospel to her and say, God saved, because I wish God has no power over me. But this one I knew now better. So we started to minister to her, and she was free. Totally free. We didn't send her away. Don't send them away. We were sent to the darkness as among the wolves. That's why he sent us. Don't say my co-worker is a witch. You have the authority. You can pray them out of that. You can love them out of that. And they will join the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he... Only because that everybody, witch or not, once they hear the gospel, believe they are saved. You have the authority. It's your responsibility to what? Use it. Praise the Lord. Honey, can you come and pray?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.